make them pop. Big gun Brian Petrie giving out the lot. One is mortal, you know it won't miss. Gonna take a shot. Dog lock, that's the underdog. Yeah, they in the hunt. Send them home, that's KO or submission. Yeah, somebody done. Slime ball, yeah, that's the parlay. We gon' make it known. Pick 'em pod from MMA tapes. Yeah, let's get it gone.
What's up? Listen, I am not in shape to wear white, but this is, you know, big guys shouldn't wear white, but this is the Chris Curtis shirt. Chris Curtis Fight Week is here, baby. Let go. Welcome to MMA Takes Podcast. Just got done doing a Twitter Spaces. I'm an old man. I've never done a Twitter Spaces before with the Profit Animals. This guy named Giovanni, who I sent a shirt to a year or so ago. He's been a supporter of me and you know, from Anik Florian to this pod as well for a while. Good dude. He's part of a Discord, and they talk MMA, they talk gambling. We did a Twitter Spaces, and I did all the way up to Charles Drouin. So if you're coming over here from that, or if you've already listened to that, and then I'm going to sound maybe repetitive here, the Anik and Florian is not out yet. We did Katona through on the Anik and Florian. So again, you know, I'm trying to get this out early, it's going to be a Thursday show. And I'm going to try not to repeat myself. I think I said the Sean Woodson joke at least twice now. I'm going to do everything possible not to say that again on my own show. Keep it fresh. But before we get into the fights, I got to, you know, recap, betting recap. Had a great week last week. I was hot. I was hitting everything up almost 4 units. Great week. Missed the slime ball by Tom Nolan. Tom Nolan! Missed it by Tom Nolan, 2-3, whatever. We'll rebound. Hit the green hammer. Green hammer, -140. It was an easy green hammer over Arlovski versus Waldo Acosta. I mean, that was just free money, right? So we're looking good. We're up 474 is what I made. So 4.7 units, whatever you want to do. Units are $100. I know, I'm not a professional gambler. They're not 1,000. Go fuck yourself. But you know, your boy, I talked to you about my inner ears. I got fucked.
It ain't got no gas in it.
All right. So this board keeps fucking up. I did not hit that button. It just went off again. It just keeps going off. I had to mute it. So there might not be any sound effects. It just went off again. What is happening here? All right. I mean, let me wiggle it. That work? No. I'm so old back in the day when a Nintendo broke, he just blew into it or smacked it a couple. It went off again. All right. So no sound effects. Sorry. This thing's going fucking crazy. I could restart, but I'm not. I've been actually thinking about getting a new one. You know what I mean? I got this years ago. It's a great product. Very expensive. But there's so many more practical things that doesn't take up all this fucking room on the desk. So that's not here or there. I'm also planning on changing camera angles. I'm all over the place, right? Try to give you a new look. We'll see. We'll do that next week when there's no UFC fight next weekend. Anyway, talking about my inner ears, right? I got double ear infection, sinus infection, whatever. Recovered well, right, with all that stuff. So I woke up the other day with my nose stuffy. And I'm like, God damn. Why am I, you know, it's 8 degrees in Cincinnati. I understand it's cold, but why am I getting so goddamn sick all the time? But I'm like, it's a stuffy nose. You feel pretty good, right? Whatever. And I like doing the sinus wrench. You know what those things are? You take it, you put a little saline solution in a bottle and you squirt it up your nose and just snot pours down right here. Like my wife can't stand it. I fucking love it. Every time I get like any kind of stuffed nose, I'm like, I get to do the saline or whatever the fuck, you know, sinus wrench, whatever you call it. So again, recover from my inner ears. I still pop a little bit, both ear infections, right? Now, I want to preface this. I think I'm a pretty tough guy. I handle pain well. When I'm a sick, I'm a pussy, right? You know, I think every man, when they have a little bit of a cold or whatever, they're a pussy. I'm a pussy, right? But when it comes to like pain, like breaking things and everything, I'm pretty good with that. I've handled that well my entire life. Cuts in the head, stitches, staples, all that stuff. I've been pretty good. When I blew my nose when I had my ear infection and it finally popped for the first time after 4 days and almost brought me to my knees, that was one of the top 5 pains in my world. What just happened to me is now top 4, right? So I go do the sinus wrench. I do one nose. Snot comes out feeling great. I go do the other nose. There's all these tubes in your face, whatever. It shoots right through and goes to my right ear. Doesn't even come out. It just goes right to my right ear. My right ear fills up. It's an intense pain. I immediately get dizzy. it's like my head's drowning. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like literally about to pass. I'm holding on to the fucking bathroom sink. Like, what is going on? And it's the most intense pain, crackling, popping, all this water and shit going in my ear. I'm like, and then I just immediately grab my thing, blow my nose, my ear pop out. I mean, guys, fuck me. I know Dana White has like Meniere's disease, and if you have any inner ear problems, you know this pain. Ooh, I mean, it took my breath. I'm like, what the fuck? I felt like such a little pansy. Like, I can't handle this. I can't handle a little ear infection or ear, whatever. Dude, it hurt so fucking bad. But so, you know, little sniffles, not doing the sinus rinse. I'm off them. Still off the Mountain Dew as well. Got a Gatorade here. Still doing good on that, boys. New year, new me, baby. New year, new me. New podcast. Same podcast. So, first fight of the night, a real piece of shit. A real dumpster. You know how I call fights spaghetti, bowls of spaghetti fight? This is a bowl of diarrhea. Malcolm Gordon -205 versus Jimmy Flick +170. I hate saying it. Ugh. Thing about Gatorade is I can't just take like a little drink. I gotta like chug it, you know. Anyway, this fight sucks, right? Malcolm Gordon, chinny as fuck, decent on the ground, Canadian. Trying to get him a win here. Jimmy Flick, retired, came back, just gets knocked out, but he's good on the ground. I keep going back to Malcolm Gordon getting submitted by Amir Abazi. Now, I know Amir Abazi is an elite guy, title contention guy, but Jimmy Flick has a good triangle, and that's what Malcolm Gordon got submitted by. He got submitted by a triangle. And Jimmy Flick at +170, and Malcolm, listen, if I sat here and looked in the camera and I said, hey, boys, right? Malcolm Gordon at -205, that's a lock. That's a steal. Fly to my house, right? I'm, you know, Cincinnati, Ohio, West Side. I'll give you my address. If I ever said that to you, fly to my house and burn it down, okay? Burn my car, burn it down. Make sure my family's out of the house. I can be in it because I deserve to be lit on fire for saying something so stupid. Now, Malcolm Gordon can win this fight. Jimmy Flick is that bad. But so is Malcolm Gordon. This is a dumpster fight. I hate it. With that being said, I'm going Jimmy Flick at +170. Props on art right now, at least for these early fights. But Jimmy Flick by submission might be the only way you're getting my money on this. It's a first fight of the night. It's a pay-per-view. I'm going to be betting it. I'm not going to stay away from it. I'm a fucking degenerate. But +170, Jimmy Flick, give it to me. Submission, you're probably looking at +200 if Vegas is smart. +300, maybe not. You know, if we get lucky, that will be something I play as well. All right, next up, you got Jasmine Jerzavicius -360 versus Priscilla Ketchum. Priscilla Ketchum, where? Ketchum beating. Shout out Paul Shack. Ketchum where is +285. You know, she's cheating. She a cheating bitch. You know what I mean? She actually cheats to win. I just think it's all Jasmine here. I don't like the line at -360. I think it's high. You know, your boy knows chick. I can't play the chick thing. God damn it. Anyway, your boy knows chicks, right? And it's unfortunate that it's real fortunate that Jasmine is fighting Ketchum here in Canada. I think, you know, she needs a win. She needs a statement win. You know, she's coming off a loss over Tracy Cortez. All decision wins in her UFC career. She's tough. She's durable. I think, you know, she's big as well. I think she could take this fight down and submit her is what I think she should do to get a little bit of star power on that fucking name. Not going to happen, though. She'll win by decision. -360, a little chunky for your boy. I know chicks. I like it. I don't love it. Not a parlay piece, but I do think if you're going to parlay any two women, it'll be Jasmine and spoiler alert. I'm picking Jillian Robertson, two Canadian women. Parlay them up, get a better number. I think those are locks to win. Next up, Johan Lannis, -148 versus Sam Patterson, +124. So Sam Patterson's a guy, 6'3", finally at 170, was fighting at 155, giraffe neck, tall, long, rangy, very confident in his own skills. People that have seen him train think this kid, like, out of England, they love him. You know, they rave about him. He's got good submissions, whatever. Didn't really fully impress me in the Contender Series. Got absolutely slept by Yanel Ashmutz in his debut, where he's a huge favorite. Now he's fighting Johan Lannis, who has a fucking cardio problem. Not a problem like, you know, Bilal Muhammad's got a problem. Like, you fight Bilal Muhammad, you're fighting his cardio, or Colby Covington, whatever. No, this guy's a problem. Like, he gets tired quick. And but he's a heavy-handed guy, and he knocks a lot of people out. He touches you to the body, it hurts. Touches you to the head, it hurts. And Sam Patterson's proven not to only have not great defense, but not a great chin. But skill for skill, I think he's head and shoulders. I mean, literally, figuratively, better than Johan. I think Johan is a one-trick pony with bad cardio. I think he's shaping it up a little bit. I've seen improvements of it, but I think if Sam stays long, maybe forces some grappling exchanges, grabs a neck. I like Sam here. I like Sam here so much. He's my dog lock. Let's see if I can get one in.
Hello?
There you go.
Okay, this is dog.
Okay, there's a dog back down, just in case the thing plays. Yeah, I like Sam Patterson here. He's my dog lock. Not a lot of super big dogs in this card that I absolutely love, but if I'm putting any money, surefire fucking money, you're locking someone up at dog money, it's Sam Patterson plus 124. I just think he's better than Johan. Could he get knocked out? Absolutely. If you want to hedge by Johan by knockout, which, again, the prop's not available, I don't think, because I believe I was trying to chase Sam Patterson by submission, and that's not available yet. Yes, on DraftKings, is not. The over-under set at 1.5. They do believe this fight's going to go under. Vegas does, that is. Give me Sam Patterson. I'm not looking back. I think he wins. I think he wins by submission. Could be a TKO late because he does have good cardio and whatnot. But hopefully the people that keep supporting, I believe John Gooden from UFC is a huge component of this guy. I think they're from the same town. They train together, whatever. Love Sam Patterson, right? When he got knocked out, he was devastated. They better be right. England, you better have a guy here, right? Because I'm going to, I had a good weekend. I might load up on my dog lock. I feel good about it. Plus 124 is not like a huge stretch, but I think I'm going to make it up with the green hammer. All right, next up, Jillian Robertson versus Pollyanna Viana. Robertson minus 285, Viana plus 230. Listen, I already gave it out. Jillian Robertson, parlay her with Jasmine, the Canadian women. Pollyanna Viana, inconsistent. Jillian Robertson is inconsistent too, but the one steadfast consistency with Jillian Robertson is she is a great, great submission artist. She's nasty on the ground. Getting it to the ground is a problem. Takedowns aren't great. She's tough. Her stand-up is a work in progress. Still not elite, but elite on the ground. And Paula Viana, if she peppers from the outside, avoids takedowns, like the floor is fucking lava, we can get interesting here. But Jillian Robertson just needs one. Hits the mat once. I think she has a variety of submissions. She doesn't just hunt for arms or necks, but she has everything. Give me Jillian Robertson here as well. I'm going to parlay that with Jazavacius. And let's see what that brings out. I got a computer in front of me. Let's see what that is, right? Parlay between the women, minus 139. So you're basically betting. I know it's a two-legger, but I think these are so slam-damn-good. Slam-a-damn-a-jum-jum, whatever that is. Minus 139. I mean, that's a great bet right there for a two-legger, two women. And I know chicks, guys. I know chicks. Let's see if I can get that up.
Talking like you know chicks, and I'm the one who knows chicks.
I know chicks. Next up, you got Siri City, minus 180 versus Ramon Tavares, plus 150. Uh-oh, literally Siri on my phone just went off when I said that. Very funny. Very funny. Comical. This fight gives me pause because I did my research. I've been grinding since Sunday on this all over City. Not only that, but slime ball candidate, right? And I'm not backtracking. The slime ball's already placed. It's already been bet. But I was on the profit animals, right? Some sharp fucking guys, right? Guys that win money. Sharp dudes. I was on there just now. And there's only three of us talking. Two of the three, the host and Giovanni, they liked Ramon Tavares here. Power puncher. Good fighter. Record a little weak, if I'm being completely honest. And City's already knocked him out. City knocked him out in the Contender Series. This is his debut in the UFC. And he's getting the guy he knocked out. Ramon Tavares came back in the Contender Series, knocked some dude out, knocked him dead. Right, knocked him down a bunch of times before that. Big, big power puncher. And now they're rematching. I loved all that. But both these guys were on Tavares. And it paused me for a little bit because, listen, I don't take bets from anybody else. I take bets from right here. Okay? I get the bets from right here. But, or right here. Or, beep, beep. But, no, these guys are sharp and they're right. You know, maybe I overlooked it. Maybe it was a quick. This was my last leg of the parlay. I had two other two other people, two other fighters. This is the last one I put down, but I'm not backtracking. I'm going with my gut instinct. I'm going City here. This is what happened to me last week. I went Tom Noland, high, big favorite, more favorite than City, right? Unknown guy coming out of the Contender Series, and he gets starched. Ramon Tavares has power to knock out City, for sure. But I'm going to go City. I'm going to go gut instincts. I went with my gut. I feel like if you have a knockout over somebody not that fucking long ago, that's going to play mental games when you fight again. We've seen it before. We've seen it before. We've also seen people come back on that second fight and look a whole lot fucking better. MMA is fickle, but I'm going to go with my first read. I'm going to go City. The over-under set at 1.5, dead even at minus 115. I like the under in this fight at minus 115 as well. Add it to my card, but I'm going to go City here. I'm going to go City. All right, next up, Charles Jourdain. Minus 180 versus Sean Woodson, plus 140. Okay, so I'm going to get the joke out of the way. I said it in the Anna Kaforian. I said it in the Twitter spaces. Sean Woodson. What is Sean Woodson? Here, let me give you the bit. Let me give you what it is, okay? Well, you know, Sean Woodson, he's listed at 6'2". I don't believe it. I think he's 8 foot tall. That's it. That's the little... Because he looks very long. Long legs, long arms. Fights very, he looks way taller than me. We're the same height, technically. He looks way taller than me because of the limbs. But he fought Dennis Bazook in Nashville. Dennis Bazook is a dangerous guy. I know he doesn't have a win in the UFC, but a dangerous guy on short notice, hungry to get in the UFC. And Woodson put a masterclass on him, pieced him up from the outside, took him down when he wanted. Again, that wasn't the best Dennis Bazook because of what we got, but Woodson is getting better. Early in his UFC career, he's getting clipped. He's getting put down. He's got tremendous heart. He's long. He's rangy. The knees are crazy. His ground game's coming a long way. And he's got Charles Jourdain, who is not going to go for a takedown. Charles Jourdain, he's going to fight you on the feet. He wants to strike. It's going to take Jourdain a little bit to find the distance. I mean, how would it not? Charles Jourdain is not a short guy at 145, but it is going to take a little bit for him to find that distance. And when he does, I think he's going to piece him apart. I think this is a decision fight. I think it's going over. The over is listed at 2.5. The over is minus 145. Vegas thinks it's going to go over as well. Sean Woodson at +3.5 rounds. The point spread at minus 115. I think that's great. I think he steals a round, probably the first round of any round. And then I think Jourdain takes over. I think it's going to be a scrap. I think it's going to be a tough fight to call. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a split. There's probably a prop if they have the point spread available. There's probably a prop for the split here. Fight to be won by split or majority decision. Yes, plus five. Was that 500? Yeah, 500. Need to get glasses. I actually have glasses. These are the real ones now. I don't have them in here. I got to get them. But I need them. My eyes are shit. Plus 500. I like that. That will be added to my card as well. Plus 500. I like that. Yeah, I like that. How many times can I say I like that, Brian? Be a professional. Move on. All right, Charles Jourdain. All right, next up, Brad Katona, right? You know, he's Canadian and Irish. He's got the weird accent. Minus 192 versus Garrett Armfield, plus 160.
I'm going to come out and say it. This is a mortal lock. I don't see any other way around it.
I think Brad Katona should be way higher in here. I do not know why he's getting a little disrespected by the books here. He fought really great against Cody Gibson. You know, his level of competition is even though his losses are through the roof here. Garrett Armfield, decent fighter, decent prospect, but you know, the guy just can't get it done. I think, you know, his record, I think, is a little weak. I mean, it's 9-3. We're not looking at anything special here, right? And then two of his three losses are by submission. Yudeto Oyama got him in the second round. He can strike. He's got some knockout, but he knocked out Tozoshi Kazam. Who fucking cares? Who hasn't knocked that guy out? And he knocked out Stephen Graham before coming to the UFC. A guy's 10-5. I'm not impressed by that. You ain't impressing me with that, right? Brad Katona, I don't think, should have been cut from the UFC from the beginning with, right? So this is Slimeball candidate, mortal lock. We got a three-way, baby. Oh, bring it out. The green fucking hammer, baby. 1-0 on the year. What if I come knocking on your door this fucking thing? Dun, dun, dun. God, this is, I just need to carry, you know, people like, I don't own a gun. I've never fired a gun. People carry concealed carry to feel safe and everything. I get it, right? This world's crazy. But man, if I just carry this around me, I feel so goddamn safe. Woo! Green hammer. And I gave you a minus 140 last week. It hit. Easiest thing I've ever done in my life. You know, Easiest thing I've done in my life. So I want to make it up to you. I'm so confident in Bracatona. I slimed him. Slimed him. Mortal locked him. Green hammer him. By submission, was it plus 350. Bracatona's got good submissions. Doesn't have a finish in the UFC yet. He needs one. If he wants to stick around, two-time Ultimate Fighter winner, he needs one. The reason he got cut is he's boring. Looks like a dork. Weird accent, right? People don't like him. But he's a dog in there. Cardio for days. Grappling good. Striking coming a long way. Decent chin. Bracatona by submission plus 350. Place a bet. Look away. Thank the Green Hammer later. And we're fucking off and running, baby. 2-0 on the year, guaranteed. Let me tell you something. If I don't win this Green Hammer this week, my next week's Green Hammer, or not next week, the next fight, the Green Hammer's free. I'm giving it free. That's a Big Cat bit. I can't, Big Cat does that. You know, he gives all his picks out for free. He's a bad gambler, Big Cat from Barstool. And then he's always like, if I don't go under 500, my picks are free. It's a bit. I do it. Sorry, I copied him. All right, next up, we got Arnold Allen. This could be a dog fight. Plus 154 versus Musar Ivulyev. Minus 185. Now, again, all these fights I broke down in the Yankee and Florian. It's not out yet, but it'll probably be out Thursday night once you've already seen this or whatever the case may be. Anyway, all signs point to OBP taking Arnold Allen, right? I pick against Russians all the time. Ivulyev struggled a little bit with Diego Lopez on the ground. Arnold Allen's a big 45er, went five hard rounds with Max Holloway, got pieced up, but he proved his toughness. He proved, hey, I'm an elite guy. I'm right here. Let me get better, right? Doesn't fight enough. Needs to fight more. He's getting Musar Ivulyev, who's a stud, who everyone has circled as possibly the next champ at 145. All signs point to me taking Arnold Allen at the dog, right? I get it. People think I'm predictable. You're going to go on Arnold, I'm going Ivulyev here. I'm going Ivulyev here, minus 185. I put some money on it on the Yank and Florian as well. I'm uncomfortable with it. And in gambling, being uncomfortable sometimes is comfortable. Arnold Allen, I keep going back to years ago. I probably shouldn't do this, but I do. Years ago, I go back to Arnold Allen against Maz Burrell, who's a great grappler. He's done well over in PFL. PFL, Bellator, wherever he's at. And He was taking Arnold Allen down like crazy. Arnold Allen got a last-minute submission. You're not going to submit Ivulyev, I don't think. Ivulyev's going to take you down. He averages like 9 takedowns a fucking fight. Striking obviously needs to come a long way. I think Arnold Allen, big, strong guy, is a smart guy, has a good camp. His dad is like a bodybuilder, or whatever the fuck he is. So he's working on not getting taken down. If he can keep this fight to the feet, it's different. The whole different ballgame. I just don't know if he can. Because Ivulyev is so relentless and very good at doing what he does. I kind of am rooting for Arnold Allen, if I'm being honest with you, because I don't want like another rusher fucking let me hump your leg, hard to impossible to stop at another division. But Ivulyev is good. So I'm going to go Ivulyev minus 25. It's going to be by decision. Don't see a finish happening either way. No parlay piece or anything like that. I don't know if I'm going to actually fully bet it, but I think I made a deal with myself that anytime I put money, the fake money that I do on the Anakin Floyd, I'm going to really bet it in real life. So I put $200 on it. So I'm going to have to bet that in real life. All right, next up. I got the shirt on. Let me get a drink here. Chris Curtis, minus 175 versus Mark Andre Barrio, power bar, plus 145. All right. So, let's see. All right, so Chris is my guy. Everyone knows that. If you watch this, if you're first time watching this, Chris Curtis and I used to train together in Cincinnati. I love him to death. He saved my life. I had a seizure, blah, 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 all that stuff. Let's not rehash it. Anyway, love the guy. Got his shirt on. And I know he's like kind of public enemy number one. A lot of people don't love him right now. He got off Twitter, right? He kind of had a weird ending on the Hermanson fight with soured people. I don't think he's built for the online criticism, which is fine. Not everyone is. And so he deleted Twitter or whatever, and Sean bullies him and says, you got bullied off Twitter or whatever. Anyway, he had a kid. He finally took a fucking rest, right, which he's desperately needed. Since he's been in the UFC, he goes, when he got to UFC, he's 34, 35 years old. He goes, I need to go. My time's short here. I need to go. spent his whole career getting the UFC, finally got there at 35 when he should have been there at 26. And they're like, and he's like, I got to go. So he took every fight available, every fight, no matter banged up, matter, I'm not making excuses for him, but doesn't, he was running with his head on fire. He never took time to himself. Finally took a break after the eye poke on the Imanov fight, which he was losing, by the way, or the headbutt, yeah, whatever happened, right? No contest. He was losing the fight. I get it. Had a kid and has been resting and training and quietly, slowly getting back into training, spending time with his kid, playing his video games, all that stuff. Went out to Colorado for this fight to get a new look, to get a new whatever. And I've seen Chris a lot, right? I haven't seen him like in person, but I've seen him on, you know, he's lean, right? He's not the biggest 85er in the world, right? He bulks up to 85. He fought most of his career at 70 in the UFC. He's like, I'm 37. Good to be 37. I'm not cut weight anymore. I'm an 85er. He looks lean, which means his cardio is on point. And you have to be on point to fight a guy like Berrio, because Berrio, since he's been in Florida, has been a different fighter. Those early losses, Berrio, he was still in Canada and just not the guy he is now. Cardio has added so much to his game. He's durable. The only time he's ever been chinned was by Chitty Bang Bang, which happens. And Chris is kind of starts slow and then he builds off the body shots and he breaks people down in the third round. I don't think that's going to happen in this fight. I don't think you're going to break down Berrio in the third round because his cardio is too good and he's too tough. He's a good striker himself. He's very aggressive. Since his cardio has been going through the roof, his volume's been going up. He averaged 39 strikes, landed a fight in early in his UFC career. Now he's landing 109, 89, 90. You know what I mean? Chris is, besides the Rodolfo Vera fight, hasn't been throwing a ton of volume. Even the Kevin Gastelum fight, which looked like an absolute war, he didn't throw that much punch or land that many punches. He's got to land on Berrio. He has to. And this was a guy who early in his career moved a lot with his feet. He sat down. That's why he's getting knockouts. Brendan Allen, Joaquin Buckley, Phil Halls. These knockouts were coming later, or excuse me, early in his career. The knockouts would come late because he's cardioing people and up. He's piecing them up. He's moving his feet well. Now in the UFC, he's kind of gone flat-footed because I want to land the power shot. I have good enough defense to block. I'm sending one back. Let's see who falls first. That's what he did with Brendan Allen. That's what he did with Phil Halls. That's what he did with Joaquin Buckley. It's worked. But for a guy like Berrio, and we all saw in the Hermanson fight where Hermanson just outworked him on the feet, didn't really do much, peppered him. Chris couldn't do anything. Chris would try to cut off the cage, couldn't, was walking in straight lines. I want to see Chris's footwork improve in this fight. He is a favorite. I'm a little nervous about it. I'm not locking him up. I get accused of being biased all the time. I will say this, though. I think this is going to be fight of the night. I think these dudes are scrapping. I think Chris being away for the period of time he was away, he wants to get in there and absolutely throw down. And the way the last fight ended with the eye, with the injury or whatever, he's chomping at the fucking bit. I know it in my heart he is. This is going to be a fucking scrap. Take that to the bank. If you're at a party with your buddies or whatever, hey, $20, this is fight of the night. You're going to win that $20 because this will be fight of the night. Guarantee it. I like Chris, obviously, with that being said. I want to see a little improvements with his footwork. I want to see him get a little more mobile with his feet. Instead of walking in straight lines, kind of cut him off because Berrio is tough. You can't put him out with one counter shot. I don't think that's going to happen. You're not going to out cardio him either, right? Don't crash him with your punches. Avoid the clinches because Berrio is good in the clinch. Berrio might even maybe mix in some takedowns. I don't know if that's going to do him well because Chris is very upset that he got taken down by Imanov. He was under, 100% takedown defense in the UFC until Imanov got him. So I know that is something that really fucking stayed with him more than anything because that's something he's really drastically worked on his game because prior to the UFC, that was his MO. You get taken down, he's kind of done. Daughter's going crazy outside the door. But anyway, I like Chris. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a decision. I'm taking Chris Curtis by decision. I don't know what that prop is. Let me chase it for you. Again, I know you're home or you're this, you're that. I get it. But I do think this is a good matchup for Chris. He has to change a few things, I think, to make this by decision plus 140. So I like that. Chris by submission plus 1,800. I ain't getting it. But yeah, I like Chris in this spot here. I liked how he mixed it up. He went out of his comfort zone, went to Colorado for a little bit. I like him here. I'm talking myself into it. I was very nervous. I'm nervous every time Chris fights Marc-Andre Berrio at 16-6. You know, he's never won as an underdog. He's 0-5 as an underdog in the UFC. Or 0-4, maybe. I don't remember that stat exactly. But yeah, I'm nervous. But I think Chris has better boxing. And I think Chris will land more. I think he'll land cleaner. I think he has better defense. I think he has better boxing. I think he's more athletic. I just hope he starts fast and doesn't get in that same thing where I'm going to take the not take the first round off. I'm going to drop the first round, and then I'm going to try to battle back, and then maybe it might be too late because then you're splitting the second round, and then you'll win the third round, and everyone's talking about that second round. You know, I know it's a point of emphasis in Chris's mind and Chris's camp, Eric Nesik, all those guys, to get him starting fast. That's been an issue in his career. I like Chris. I like him by decision. Plus 140 added to my card. And obviously, I'm gonna single wager Chris at minus 170 as well. 175. Same game parlay might be interesting. How many strikes are landed? Because I think this could be action packed. I'll have to look into that on Saturday. All right, next up, Neil Magny, plus 260 versus Mike Malott, Canadian boy, Canadian, the Canadian who I think can save Canada in my opinion. Does this line move? Plus 280 on Neil Magny, Mike Malott, minus 255. I'm going Neil Magny. I'm going Neil Magny. I'll tell you why. Mike Malott, who I love as because I think Canadian fans are some of the best fans in the world. I truly do. MMA Twitter is full of Canadian fans. Canadian MMA fans are hardcore. They love it. You know what I mean? They don't have the NFL to distract them. They have Toronto, they have baseball a little bit. They don't have, you know, they got the NBA. But they got hockey and fighting, right? That's what they got. And fighting is in hockey. It's in their DNA. So I love Canada. I want Canada to have a star, right? Like, you're not going to replace GSP ever. GSP was a once-in-a-lifetime kind of guy. But you need a guy to come up. They're loaded with Canadian talent. Brad Cantona could be one, but he kind of reps Ireland at this point. Mike Malott, your guy, I think, right? Big price tag on him. Minus 355. Big price tag on him. Neil Magny, though, he's hard to look good against, right? Ian Gary, who I have in high regard. I know everyone has opinions on Ian Gary. Hot topic right now. But he's a good fighter, good young fighter. And Ian Gary thought he was going to go in there and steamroll Neil Magny and knock him out. Not going to happen. We haven't seen Mike Malott extended. We haven't seen him in the third round yet. He's only had 11, 12 fights. This is his 13th pro fight. We haven't seen him get extended yet, right? I know he's going to be motivated. He's going to come out with his fucking hair on fire. Neil Magny is going to have to weather some storms, which he's done in the past. Does he have another storm in him? He's getting older. He's getting long in the tooth. I understand that. But Neil Magny is so frustrating in the fight. He's long. He's lanky. He'll take you down. His submission defense is good enough, and he'll break it down that he can land a submission of his own. He's got those long arms with the darts. That's kind of how I see this fight going. Either Mike Malott's going to blow him. Going to fucking destroy him in round one, right? I'm fully anticipating that. Mike Malott's going to come out, want to get that round one KO, wants to make a stamp like, yo, look what I just fucking did to Neil Magny in round one. Not many people do that. Canada, I'm here. What's up? I would love that. However, I think round one is going to be all Malott. Round two, mostly Malott, but I think Neil's going to start chipping away. And I think Malott's going to tire. I think he's going to get, I don't know why I'm whispering. He's going to get tired. Third round, he's going to come out there. He's going to be fighting on hard. He's going to have a little bit of tiredness, cardio, might take a fucking sloppy shot because Neil's piecing him up with his, you know, he does no power. He just, you know, the rain shots, and he's going to go for an ugly shot. Gets his neck taken. I like Neil Magny. I might play Neil Magny by submission too, just to get fucking wild with it. What is that number? Chase that number, Brian. See, this is why I need a producer. Not really. But Neil Magny by submission. What do you guys think it is? So he's a huge dog at plus 280. Neil Magny by submission, 1,800. Added to my card, 18-1? Yeah, dude. I know Mike Malott's the guy, everyone loves him. He's got great submissions. He's high level. But when your cardio goes, everything goes. 18-1. I mean, am I going to be the 18-1 kid if I hit that? I'm going to have to get a shirt that says 18-1. People are like, oh, is that your record? No, motherfucker, that's what I hit. I'm the 18-1 kid, baby. Wow. I didn't think it'd be 18-1. Yeah, 18-1, Neil Magny myself. Probably not going to hit. I'm getting excited for no reason, but, you know, this is gambling, baby. This is what it does to us. Hey, yo. Cool, man, man. You see how I segue? I'm the best at segueing. You're never going to hear me say I'm the best gambler. I'm the best this, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. But my segues to the next fight? Bar none. All right, Mara Breno Silva, minus 160 versus Raquel Pennington, plus 140. We're looking at a new, 135-pound champ. It was supposed to be Julia Pena, right? And Pena got hurt, and Silva and her talking shit. I like Silva. Silva's really kind of, not grown on me, but really kind of opened my eyes. She talks that good shit, but she's like rational at times, and she's aggressive. She's getting better. Her submissions are top notch. She's durable. Her cardio's good. She's a bad bitch when she's in there. Pennington's no easy task, though. Pennington's an OG. It'd be a dog. Be a dog in there, boy. Be a dog. She's a dog in there. She's tough to finish. Never been submitted in the UFC. Tough to finish. I mean, the only time I think she's ever been finished is when she quit against Nunez. What plays in my head are the bright lights too bright for Raquel Pennington. I'm going to go Silva. Going to be champ. I'm kind of rooting for that as well. She's also slime ball candidate as well because I know chicks. I'm rooting for it as well because I think Raquel's just a little bit boring for me. She's a fantastic fighter. Her fights aren't that boring. But her in front of the microphone, it's like, God damn, right? I'd rather watch them interview a fucking trash can than her. There's no personality there. Silva, she's crying all the time. She's crazy. And crazy in the best way possible. And her and Pena has got some juice. They could sell the shit out of that come when Pena cleans up and come springtime. And that'll be a dog fight. But give me Silva. And new, I mean, someone's going to be in new, but Silva's going to be the champion there. Slimeball parlay candidate number three. Yeah, number three. All right, main event, Sean Strickland versus Jackson Duplessis. See how I said that name? Dude, I'm fucking slick with it, right? I've been working on pronunciations with John Anik, and I'm just, at this point, I just do it, you know, without even thinking about it. Jackson Duplessis? You know what I mean? I say it better than he does. You know what I mean? That's crazy. Let's get serious. I don't know what people see in Dreykus Duplessis. He wins every fight he fights, right? He's got a great record outside the UFC. Fought some really fucking studs. But the gassing out in these weird fights early in his UFC, I know his nose was broken and all that shit. He was a big guy. Technique, dog shit, right? Heavy as fuck on top. Heart for days, good chin, technique, trash. But what I think he makes up for technique is the cardio and the power and the willingness to fucking go in there. When I saw him fight live against Darren Till, and this is Darren Till, the worst version of Darren Till. Maybe the worst version of Darren Till is Derek Brunson, but this is a bad version of Darren Till. In Vegas, and Darren Till, when Darren Till let his hands go, he was piecing up Dreykus. It wasn't until Dreykus really started mixing in the takedowns where he started getting, you know, obviously he finished on the ground, but I don't think he's taking Sean down. Sean is such a good, his takedown defense is so good. He's very anti-jiu-jitsu, so if he gets taken down, he'll pop right the fuck back up. I see this fight playing on the feet. Sean isn't the biggest 85er. He spent a lot of his career at 70. He's not small by any means. I think he was a little too big for 70. 85 is the right weight class. But Dreykus is big. Dreykus is a big guy, and Sean has sparred numerous people this camp. They brought in some real big talent. The problem is when you're Sean Strickland and you got your Philly shell, right? You got the shell, right? Block with your shoulder and you're very technical with your 1-2s. You get a guy who's so goddamn unorthodox and you get a guy who's so goddamn wild in there, big, strong. How's your technique? It's going to take you a little minute. You know, there's not many people out there that are sparring like Dreykus Duplessis. I've admitted that I don't get it with Dreykus. I thought when him and Izzy were going to fight, I was going to put my fucking life savings on Izzy. Thought Izzy destroys him. I don't know. After that Izzy-Sean Strickland fight, I don't know if Izzy would have or if he still could. I think anybody can win, but I'm not as confident. Earlier when this fight got announced, I believe I texted some people and said Strickland all day. Strickland by decision, possibly late TKO stoppage because Strickland's not going to get tired. He won't get tired. Five-round fight. We've never seen Dreykus in a five-round fight. He's been in a five-round fight outside the UFC, but never in the UFC, on the bright lights, main event, Canada, all that shit, for the fucking title. So my pick earlier this week was Sean Strickland. I put money on him on the Anakin Florian. -135 is the line. +114 for Dreykus. Let's see if that's moved at all. But I'm not going to lie to you guys. I'm not going to fucking lie to you. All right, so it's -125. So money's coming in on Dreykus Duplessis. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm still on Strickland. I'm not flipping. I'm not a fucking flip-flopper. I'm not a fish. I'm good to go Strickland, right? But I'm not as confident as I once was. Am I buying into the Dreykus Duplessis hype, right? Am I watching too many fucking videos? I don't know. But goddamn, he seems confident this week on the embedded. He's running through the fucking freezing cold ocean in some fucking banana hammock, right? This dude just is carefree. He said in an interview prior to this fight, before all the thing broke out with all the horrible stuff, he literally said, I think I'm better everywhere than Strickland. I don't think he has a shot. I love fighters who have confidence. I just, again, as a longtime martial arts fan, a guy who has watched it, who trained a little bit, who considers himself an expert, I do not know what I'm missing with Dricus du Plessis. I just broke it down what all of his skills are. I still can't compute it in my fucking head because I'm dumb. But I'm going Sean Strickland. I'm going to bet it because it's the main event. I'll go Strickland, maybe decision, TKO. Maybe I'll sprinkle in that double shot, whatever, double champ, whatever. Anyway, all right, let's recap. I never gave a send him home. Shit balls. All right. I knew I missed something. All right, so send him home. Siri City is going, and my phone went off again. Hilarious. Siri City is going to be send him home. Send him home, City, right? Mortal Lock, Bragatona, and then Dog Lock, Sam Patterson. Those are at Green Hammer, Bragatona by submission, plus 350. Sign ball parlay. Maribuena Silva, Bragatona, and City. Makes me nervous. Plus 275. Juicy parlay. We like that. All right, that's it. That's your show. Brian Peach on MMA on all social medias. Hit that fucking subscribe button. Trying to get to 2K, baby. Trying to get to 2K. You guys are the absolute best. I love you. And I guess I'll see you. Maybe I'm going to do a show next week. We'll do a show.
With our man Brian Hager. Motherfuckers. Perfect week for Brian Hager yet again. Motherfuckers. This is Knicks with our man Brian Hager.